Welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. We help you stay happy, healthy, and whole so your small business can thrive and stay vital in this ever-changing world. With holistic coaches and small business owners, Jill and Dan.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. And hello, Dan.
Hello, Jill. That was a very professional entry.
Every week we're getting a bit more professional.
So we've discovered something new this week. Actually, if we have the microphones closer to our mouth, it actually works a lot better.
We've actually learned how to use our microphones. Well, we haven't told the listeners that last week we spent half an hour before we went on air because I had the mute button on. Tried to work out why you couldn't hear me.
Yeah. So, oh, well, you live and you learn.
We're highly professional, but we're getting there, Dan. You know, we've not done this before. It's a whole learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah, you just got to get in there, in the deep end. Got to jump off the cliff and learn how to fly on the way down. Yeah.
Enjoy the challenge of the climb.
Yeah. Well, we do sound a lot better, I must admit.
I think it sounds loads better, but now I've got to sit still because I'm a right fidgeter and now I can hear myself fidgeting all the time. So I'm
Yes.
Still with my hands on my knees and not move. I don't think I'll manage it because my chair's even creaky. And also I can hear myself breathe. So it's freaking me out a little bit, but we'll get over that eventually. I'm stepping back from the microphone to breathe.
Edit the breathing out.
Yeah. So what have you been up to this week then, Dan?
Still in isolation. A lot of walking actually. I've been out loads this week because the weather's been nice. Which we're going to talk about a little bit later in the podcast, getting out in nature. I know you do a lot of that with the dog.
I do. I'm all without.
And the feral children.
My feral children walking barefoot around the woods.
Yeah. But yeah, apart from that, teaching lots of classes, keeping fit. Yeah, enjoying it all. What about you?
Same, really. I'm still doing my course with Michael King, which is really, really good. My Pilates course. Same as you, getting out and about in nature with the dog.
So today's podcast, what's our topic?
So today we are going to talk about the immune system and our top five. We've got top five ways to help. We can't talk about boosting the immune system, but you don't really want to boost it, do you? Because then that's like quite a lot of problems occur through a boosted immune system. All the autoimmune deficiency problems occurred from a highly functioning immune system, which is kind of too alert. But we want to, the things that we can do just to keep ourselves nice and healthy and get rid of any stray viruses and bacteria that might be flying around right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty relevant topic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose the phrase immune system has never, ever been used as much, has it?
I know. I've seen all these things saying, boost your immune system. And I think, well, no, you don't want to boost your immune system. You want to have a perfectly functioning immune system.
They should say, stop suppressing your immune system.
Yeah. Yeah. The five ways not to suppress your immune system.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. A lot of everyday habits do stop the immune system from functioning properly, don't they?
Our modern day life suppresses it a lot, especially how we live and how we eat and the stress that we put under every day can suppress it quite significantly.
Yeah, but fortunately, it's actually not that hard to get the immune system up and running optimally, is it? So we're going to give the listeners five tips and hopefully you'll come to realize that it's not rocket science, is it?
No, and it's so important to do because when you're self-employed, or when you're just employed, you really have to keep yourself in top condition, don't you? Especially if the reasons that you lose, that you have to stop work, are things that you could prevent.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but in my job, I've worked there, although like I do self-employed stuff as well, I'm still full-time employed by somebody else. I've worked there for over 4 years now, and it's like a thing of pride. I haven't had a day off sick. There might have been one or two times where I've been unwell, but not enough to stay off. And now it's like a personal challenge where I don't want a day off, but then we've all met people. I've had people in other like previous jobs that just, it's just any old excuse, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm proud to be healthy and to not want a day off work sick.
Yeah, it's like the last week or a week ago when I was ill, and I was properly ill, and I did have a really high temperature, and I cancelled the class. But I knew I was going to be all right the next day. everyone was freaking out because I got so many messages from people going, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'm fine." And even when I went back to teach my class the next day, they were like, "Are you sure?" Because they all thought I was jumping back in too quick. But I knew I was fine. But I think when you're used to being healthy and you are ill, then lots of people get worried about you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like, we're not invincible.
Exactly.
Just saying, we do try and look after ourselves, yeah. Everyone gets ill at some point, like, but it's if you're getting constantly ill or you're getting pain or injuries, then, yeah, the immune system's, it's not doing its job, essentially, is it?
It's that spiral as well down, isn't it, where you start to get little niggles and then colds, and then that turns into extra things and then more, and then you get injured, and it's all that add-ons of stuff that bring you in that downward spiral that if you could prevent it before you got that bad, then you wouldn't necessarily have to have so much time off work. Or, and maybe if you're having time off work, it might not be that your immune system, it might be something that you're not doing something that you love.
Ah, yes. So we're getting into the deep psychological. What is your dream?
Maybe that's a bit too far for this podcast, but yeah.
So we're going to mention 5 tips and we're going to expand on them a little bit. And the first one, same as though we're both exercise coaches, is exercise. So a lot of us do this subconsciously because we know it's good for us, but it has so many positive effects on the body and the immune system that we should all be doing it to some degree, shouldn't we?
Oh, totally. Exercise is the number one thing to get your circulation going, your heart rate, the happy hormones circulating. Not only that though, you're moving your muscles and your joints and your ligaments and things, but you're also moving your organs around. People don't realize that you're actually giving, every time you do some exercise, you're actually massaging your organs, which then help them to perform better.
Yeah, so it's the body's a series of pumps, isn't it? So you think you're doing a lot of exercise, your heart's pumping, your lungs are pumping, all the capillaries and arteries are pumping. And what's your favorite quote from Joseph Pilates?
Oh, yes. It's the stagnant pools, that if you don't move, places in your body become stagnant and create stagnant pools where bacteria and germs breed. And I love that imagery.
And you can already tell, even just by the phrases like Jill's using there, if there's stagnation and bacteria breeding in your body, obviously the immune system has to work hard to help prevent that and get rid of that. And it's just going to be another cause of illness. So by doing even just gentle exercise, it's going to help flush the body of unwanted invaders, shall we say.
Yeah, and get them out of those stagnant areas and move down through the lymphatic system and out of your body. And that'll help the immune system just to keep everything flowing. We want everything to flow, don't we? You know, and nothing just to be still. We need to create flow in your life and in your body. I'm going back to the existential things again.
Bring it back, Jill. Bring it back.
Bring it back to normal. I don't know what's happened to me today.
But it's right, though. You mentioned your favorite topic earlier on hormones. When you do exercise, you get that release of the dopamine, the endorphins. It makes you feel good. It reduces stress. Mm. Stress is the number one cause of being off work, the long-term cause of being off work. So even just a daily practice of a little bit of exercise is going to reduce stress, anxiety, depression. And especially if you're self-employed and if you feel that way and you rely on yourself to pay the bills, then it's pretty essential that you keep stress down, isn't it?
Absolutely. And stress causes inflammation, and then that boosts the immune system, but makes the immune system work hard.
Yeah. And like stress, anxiety, depression, that's more of a long-term being off work. It's a long-term sickness. But in terms of short-term injuries, which you're going to keep you off work, back pain and back injuries is the number one cause, isn't it?
Yeah.
So doing some exercise, which is correct for you, like stretching and strengthening, and particularly the things that you do in Pilates and core strengthening, this is going to help particularly the lower back. And if you can avoid a back injury, then yeah, go for it, because it's not fun, is it?
Prevention is definitely better than cure when it comes to back injuries. And, you know, keeping everything mobilized and strong will prevent anything happening, hopefully. bad.
Yeah, it's, think of it as prehab as opposed to rehab.
Good one, Dan.
Yeah, there we go.
I like that. There you go. Prehab, not rehab. That's what we want.
Number two, your favorite thing in the world, sleep.
Yes. Oh, I love sleep. Sleep is such a superpower. It's my superpower, actually, if anyone asks. I can just fall asleep anywhere. But it's one of those things that we do, that every mammal does. Every animal does, I think, don't they? Every animal has some kind of sleep. It's just a thing that will repair. And, you know, we look at it sometimes as a bit of a something that we don't really need or we don't really want to do. But really, if you can get your sleep sorted, then the rest of your life and your body can just work much better, much more efficiently.
I always like to put this one into perspective when, you know, when you wake up after a good night's sleep and you feel like totally rested and fresh, that's better than any supplement, any kind of magic pill, anything else you can do, just waking up fresh and rested. You feel like a new person, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And people spend a lot of money, like you say, on supplements or beauty creams and all of this kind of stuff. And actually, a good night's sleep will do more for your skin than what any £100 skin treatment would do.
Oh, yeah, and it's free.
Yes, exactly.
So to put it into context, it's when you go to sleep as well, isn't it? It's not essentially just sleep, because there's a lot of studies showing that people who work night shifts for a long period of their life, they die sooner, don't they? And I can speak from experience. I used to have a job back in the day where I worked night shift, and I did that for 3 years, and I absolutely hated it. And my mental health suffered a little bit as well. And I was only young, and it was before I realized I was in the health industry. And then I look back now and think, oh, that's exactly what it was. It was terrible. So working for 7 days in a row, working from 9 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning, then sleeping during the day, my health suffered massively. I think subconsciously I knew that that's one of the reasons why I stopped working there. But yeah, so it's not, but I was still getting 8 hours sleep. So if I wasn't really educated, I thought, well, I'm sleeping during the day. I'm still sleeping.
Mm.
But it's when you sleep, isn't it?
Yeah, and they have different times in the night that your body repairs different parts of your body.
Yeah, exactly. So from 10 till 2, so this is called a circadian rhythm, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're meant to sleep when the sun goes down and then rise when the sun comes up. So roughly from 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. is your physical repair. We mentioned earlier back pain is one of the major causes of being off work short term. Mm. Well, if you've got a physical job, and your body needs that physical repair, but you're going to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, so you're missing essentially 3 hours of physical repair. So the next day you go back to work for another big physical effort, and your body hasn't even recovered from the previous day, your chances of injury are just going to go through the roof, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I find when I do, because I do treat a lot of people with back pain, I get them coming to my classes and one-to-ones, and the first thing I ask them is, how much water are you drinking? What are you eating? How well do you sleep? And they kind of look at us like, you haven't even looked at me back yet. But it's not, sometimes it's not about the mechanics. That's kind of the easy part to fix. It's the rest of the stuff that feeds in. If you have a car feeding it the wrong stuff, you know, putting diesel in a petrol car, it's not going to work properly. So it's going to have a knock-on effect right through the body.
Yeah, essentially the back could be just a symptom.
Yeah.
You need to get to the root cause, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, when it comes to the immune system, you need to have that element of sleep. And if you're going to bed late, you're missing out on some, or getting up early, you're missing out on some of that repair time for your body. There's a really good book I read called Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. And he says, like, although we don't think of it as that bad, you know, when the clocks go forward and the clocks go back, so the time when we lose an hour's sleep, like admissions to A&E go up, car accident, road traffic accidents go up. If you magnify that for the whole of the country, it's actually a massive thing. And then they go backwards the other way when we get an extra hour's sleep. Even though we don't think of an extra hour here and there as much of a problem, it actually is a big problem when it's magnified out.
Absolutely, yeah. And that author you mentioned there, was it Matthew Walker?
Matthew Walker, yeah.
I haven't read the book you commented on, but I've listened to quite a few of his interviews on other podcasts, and he's a fascinating guy, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's on Joe Rogan. You told me that one, and he's really good.
Yeah.
Really well worth a listen.
He speaks really well, and he puts things into context probably a lot better than
we do. You need to sleep, guys. If you want the medical reasons why, then listen to Matthew Walker on Joe Rogan.
yeah. Well, listen to us first.
Yes, listen to us first.
But yeah, so the physical repair is 10 till 2 a.m. and then our cognitive repair would then be from 2 till 6. So this is really important if you find you have brain fog or you just things aren't really going right, particularly if you're in business yourself and the decisions you make are really critical for your income and the health of your business. If you're not getting that cognitive repair, it's going to hamper your results, isn't it?
Oh, I think like when we talked about my other favorite subject, habits, the keystone habit, you know, how that you have a habit that then creates other habits or creates that good spiral that for me, sleep is definitely, if I don't get a good night's sleep, like when my kids were little and you know, you're up all night and various things, then the next morning you get up, you feel like crap, you're drinking loads of coffee just to wake yourself up, you get into that cycle, then you need sugar because your insulin levels are rising and falling and you're getting that blood sugar drop. It just creates so many more problems further on in the day and you can't think straight. Like you say, I think sleep, if you get a good night's sleep, then you wake up refreshed and ready to start the day. And I always think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good point that try to avoid that roller coaster of sugar, coffee. You don't feel good, do you, when you do those things?
No. And there's so many people who live like that as well that probably don't realize that they're doing this up and down all the time. And especially as you get to a certain age as a woman and your hormones are going all over the place anyway, you don't want to add in that extra element of more roller coastering all over the place either.
We're speaking from experience as well, because I've missed out on sleep. I've worked night shifts. I've been on that roller coaster of refined sugars and coffee, and it feels so much better to not do that.
Yeah.
We're not just reading it from a book. We've actually experienced it on both ends, and we can say that to just be on an even playing field of energy all day, it's so much better for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember when my son was really young and I used to have a job where I had to get the early train to London, like 6:30 train. And I remember not sleeping for like 5 nights in a row where he was just up all night and then he'd go to sleep and then the next hour he was up and I was like, oh, and he would only have me, he wouldn't go for Stephen. And then I remember going to the train station that morning at 6:30 and just like dragging myself there going, oh God. And I saw my colleague, and you know when you're on the point of crying, and I said, don't say anything nice to us, and otherwise I'll just burst into tears. And he went, you look like shit. So I was like, thanks. But I didn't even dare fall asleep on the train, because I thought, if I go to sleep, then that's it. Like, no one will wake me up, and I'll end up in Great Yarmouth or something.
So, moral of the story.
Get sleep.
Yeah.
Train your children to sleep.
So number 3 on our list, one of our favourites, and it's get back to nature.
Yeah, all of these are our favourites, Dan, strangely.
Yeah.
We live this life, don't we?
Yeah. So getting back to nature, it's kind of overlooked, isn't it? But it's really simple. It's really simple.
It's just getting out into the air, the trees. I think trees have energy. I can feel the tree energy. Again, I'm like hippie. Person, but they do.
Bring it back.
They do. And it's so good to get that, you know, just to be out in the fresh air. And I think it puts everything into perspective as well. Sometimes you get that stress and like, and you can't remember. And then you go out for a walk and just forget about things. And then all of a sudden, all these, you know, your brain starts to clear.
Yeah. Even if you've got a garden, just being in the garden out, just in fresh air, essentially.
Fresh air, sun on your skin. Wind on your skin, hands in the earth.
Yeah, so you've been doing a lot of that this week, earthing, haven't you? Do you want to expand upon that a little bit?
Well, yeah, just I totally believe that the earth has a certain energy. Well, I don't believe it. It's true, isn't it? It's been proven that the earth has energy. So you can absorb that energy via your skin and your feet and your hands and just getting into the earth. And even just, I also read the other day that something about the bacteria, you know, this is one way to strengthen your immune system. It's like a muscle that the more you expose it to different ways of being and different things, the stronger it gets. So the bacteria that's in the soil, get your hands, get your feet in it, and your immune system can then strengthen.
Well, essentially, when you think all the, it might sound a bit strange to, getting your feet in the soil and in the dirt and it's got bacteria. But if you imagine all the food you eat, so all the fruits and vegetables, they grow in the earth. Mm. Even if it grows on a tree, the tree is in the earth. And even if you eat an animal, the animal lives on the earth and it eats grass, which is in the earth. So
yeah, everything comes back to it, doesn't it?
So you're ingesting it into your body. It's not that much different from you just kind of getting your feet or your hands on the earth. And it's strange, but it does feel good. And it feels, if you haven't done it since you were a child, it feels strange at first. But I think the best feeling of earthing is when you walk on the beach.
Yeah.
It's just very calming, isn't it? And it feels, you feel almost like a kid again having your shoes off.
Yeah.
It's strange. Sounds very simple, but it'll put a smile on your face.
Also, there's lots of nerve endings and, the more bones in your foot than there are in the rest of your body. So the more that you can get your feet moving on uneven surfaces as well, and different textures and different temperatures, that the better it is for the rest of your body, because there's a lot of connection between the foot and the pelvic floor as well. So getting the feet right will help further up the chain. One of our coaches, Matt, I remember listening to an interview with him, and he said he got the most referrals to his, he's a osteopath, and he got the most referrals to his practice when Nike invented Nike Air shoes, because they were cushioned soles. So people weren't getting that pounding, the foot couldn't feel anything anymore. So it had knock-on effects right up, and people's backs were starting to go because of their footwear. So the more that you can get out and get your natural feet, you know what I mean, your bare feet naturally in the ground, then that has knock-on effects further up your body and can help relieve back pain too.
Yeah, so having that big cushioned sole, it delays the feedback to the rest of the body, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So your body is designed, when your foot strikes the floor, it gets almost immediate feedback through the rest of the body, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But by having that cushioned sole, it slows down. The switches and the feedback, so your foot hits the floor, but then the rest of the body reacts slightly out of sync, doesn't it? Which can result in injuries.
And it's all those micro adjustments through the foot and through the ankle, and then further on up, that create the strength and throughout the whole body.
Yeah. So, and also talking about getting out in nature, getting it kind of back to try and avoid time off work. Another short-term cause of being off work, and therefore loss of income essentially, it's just colds and flus. It's really common. And winter gets spoke about as being the flu season, and people think it's because it's cold outside, but it's not. It's because we spend more time inside. So we have the heating on and it's kind of stuffy inside, but that's just going to make things worse. Your house becomes almost stagnant, doesn't it? So try to get yourself out in nature and the chances of cold and flus are going to decrease.
So another stagnant pool in your house.
Yeah.
So we're not having any stagnant pools in our bodies, and we're not having any stagnant pools in our environment either.
Yeah.
And my dog swam in a stagnant pool the other day and stunk.
Not good.
She still stinks because of it. So there you go.
Yeah. If that's not a metaphor, then I don't know what is.
Right, what's next on our list then?
Next up is food. So eat healthy food, and in particular avoid sugar. It's pretty self-explanatory to eat as healthy as possible, isn't it?
Because you don't need a degree in nutrition to know this, do you?
You are what you eat. A little bit more specific, sugar and the immune system are linked.
Yeah, so it's that whole insulin response and the inflammation that it creates in your body. We were just reading, weren't we, that any sugar, you eat sugar, it can take only half an hour to shut down your immune system.
For quite substantial periods of time as well.
I think I said 5 hours. 5 hours sugar can shut down your immune system for.
Yeah, and when you take into account how much sugar is in some kind of commonplace foods and drinks which you would have every day, like going to, was it a Starbucks latte or something like that?
Starbucks latte had 49 grams of sugar in it, and a can of Coke had 39 grams of sugar.
That's sometimes hard to put into perspective, but if you put that out on the table in front of you and said, right, eat all that sugar without anything
else. Yeah, that would be a lot of sugar.
You just wouldn't consider it, would you?
No. And currently, as we are in the grips of the coronavirus, the people who are getting hit the hardest are the ones with diabetes and the obese people who their immune system's been brought down. They're not quite sure of how it's happening yet, I don't think. But it's something to do with the insulin response bringing down some immunity. So it's really important.
Yeah, so the science is that if you're eating a lot of processed sugar, it's shutting your immune system down. I mean, it's pretty much black and white, isn't it?
I can't understand how in hospitals they sell chocolate and crap. It's like, when you're in a hospital, don't you want your immune system to be as best as it can be?
Well, people always complain about when they're in hospital, they hate hospital food, don't they?
Yeah.
When essentially you are what you eat, people will probably recover 10 times quicker if hospital served organic, healthy food, but it comes down to cost and things like that, doesn't it? So
yeah. I know. I was watching this program once ages ago, and it was about people getting the bariatric surgery, you know, when they're getting the ring put around their stomach so they don't eat as much.
Oh, yeah.
And there was those people, bless them, they'd had all this surgery done to them. And when they woke up out, the first thing that came around was the trolley with loads of chocolate and stuff on. And it's like, I mean, you wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't, if you stopped smoking suddenly and you had lung cancer or something, you wouldn't get served cigarettes. The first thing you see when you woke up.
It's that whole thing of the medical industry doesn't teach nutrition, does it? Teaches cover up symptoms, essentially.
And also a lot of the food industry gets a lot of tax, doesn't they? Or pays a lot of tax.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why we're going down a bit of a conspiracy rabbit hole here, but if...
You love a conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's my favourite subject at the moment. But if they really cared about your health that much, then alcohol and cigarettes and processed sugars and unhealthy foods, they wouldn't exist. So,
well, our Prime Minister has said that he's going to wage a war on it. So we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Yeah. I won't hold my breath.
But yes, eating healthily, getting enough fresh fruit and veg and eating the right kinds of things. Water as well, plenty of water to help flush out the system. Your gut health is really important in immunity as well, isn't it? Because 80% of your immune system is actually housed in your gut. So the more healthy, the fresh foods, the seeds and lots of fibrous foods are really good to keep your gut healthy and that good bacteria in there.
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of these tips that we've given link back to each other. So if you get your gut health into better shape, it's going to improve your sleep because melatonin, I think I'm sure the statistics are like 80% of melatonin is produced in the gut. So if you get a healthier diet, you're going to sleep better.
Yeah,
if you avoid sugar, like sugar elevates your heart rate and elevates your breathing as well. So if you eat sugar before you attempt to go to sleep, you might find yourself not be able to drop off. Or when you do, it's kind of that shallow breathing or you're tossing and turning. So try to avoid sugar before you go to sleep.
Yeah. And also the movement then creates that peristaltic wave. Oh, get that? See, that came from nowhere, didn't it? peristalsis, which pushes things down through the gut. So it gets things moving and flowing out of your body. Movement and flow seems to be the theme today. Non-stagnation.
Rhythm and flow, yeah.
Rhythm and flow.
So final tip is meditation and or Tai Chi or Qigong. So moving meditation, we'll call it.
Yeah, so this kind of ties into our previous podcast about working in and working out, doesn't it? And reducing stress. Breathing, there's another important function to get that pumping action going.
Yeah, so that's, for me personally, it's pretty well known now the benefits of meditation. So the typical image of meditation is someone sat very still, eyes closed, in deep thought. But for me, I find some sort of moving meditation is a lot easier and it's a lot more manageable because the body moves and you're working with your breathing as well. So timing the movement to the breathing, I find that a lot more manageable and a lot more enticing to keep up a daily practice. So for the listeners out there who think it's such a common phrase, or I just can't sit there and do nothing. Well, you kind of don't have to anymore now with there's so many different types of meditation out there. Find one that suits you and the health benefits are pretty impressive, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's anything that you get that mind-body connection, isn't it? Like we live out here outside of our bodies and we don't really think about them until they start going wrong and they we're in pain, and then we think, oh God, what have I done? But when everything's functioning perfectly, we don't really think about it. It's like a computer or a car or the internet, like what you've had problems with today. When things are functioning normally, we don't think about them. So anything that can bring you back out from your daily lives, your daily stress, and bring you into your body and just giving you that time to think about, am I feeling stress anywhere? Am I feeling tension? There's not something not feel right. How do I? It's just to give yourself a little bit of time inside of yourself.
It's like you mentioned the term, which we spoke about on the previous podcast, like work in as opposed to working out.
Hmm.
Unlike our mentor, who we probably mentioned on every podcast, Paul Check,
he's
got a really brilliant slogan, which is, if you don't go within, you'll go without. So that time for kind of introspection, a little bit of meditation or moving meditation, it just allows you to kind of block out all the external for a little while and actually realize what's going on inside of yourself and just calm down a little bit. The number one benefit of meditation is stress reduction, and it just relieves anxiety and depression. And like we've already spoken previously in the podcast, if that's the number one reason for long-term time off work.
Mm-hmm.
So even just kind of 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day of some form of meditation or moving meditation is just going to bring all those negative thoughts, anxiety, depression, stress down, then why not? And it feels good once you do it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of looking after your mental health as well, isn't it? You know, keeping those, otherwise we get too involved in the stresses of life, and then just let that just switch off for a little while and just become at one with your body and the world. And if you do it outside with your shoes off, then even better, right?
Yeah. So we can tie a lot of these tips in together. So if you did some really gentle kind of moving breathing exercises outside with your feet on the grass, getting some vitamin D, we haven't really mentioned that, is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And often people lack it because we spend so much time indoors.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a good night's sleep, essentially, woke up, went outside, had a moving meditation for 20 minutes with your feet on the earth, out in nature, then had a healthy breakfast, like there's all pretty much all five done. And you feel so much better than if you went to bed late, you rushed out of bed, grabbed a coffee. It's a bad start to the day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a much, much more, it's about you taking control of your life rather than letting life take over you.
Yeah, it's just choices, isn't it?
It is. It's choices. It all comes down to your own personal choice.
But if we do these things, then we're in the midst of this pandemic at the moment. If people are worried about getting the virus, and essentially your immune system is there to protect you from these things, then if you're that worried about it, then do these things because they do work. It's not just esoteric hippie stuff. It's the science backs it up, doesn't it?
Oh. Totally, totally. And I've come from a life like you have where I used to get colds and flus quite a lot, and I used to have a stressful life. And now, touch wood, I rarely get anything. So it works. It's worked for me. It's worked for you.
Like, again, another Paul Check quote coming up. Sooner or later, your health will become your number one priority.
I love that quote.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So don't wait until you get the coronavirus. Like, obviously, we hope you don't. Or don't wait till you get flu, or don't wait till you're ill. It's like when you get a hangover,
I'm never doing that again.
Yeah. Like when you get really ill, you think, oh, right, I'm just going to be as healthy as I possibly can now. I don't want to feel like this ever again. But be proactive. Like you said at the start, like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, isn't it? So just do these things. They don't really cost you anything, do they?
No, and you make so much better business decisions. You don't have that fatigue. You know, when you're self-employed as well, you don't have anybody pushing you to do stuff, really. So it's like, oh, I'll just leave that till tomorrow. You know, you end up not getting stuff done because you just can't be bothered. And so when you live this way and you start to take control of your health and be in control, you get much more energy. So you get more of a flow in your business, in your life, in everything, really.
Yeah, and especially for the likes, if me and you are in the health industry, it's kind of, you need to set an example. So if you're in the health industry and people see you as being healthy and vibrant and doing well, that speaks 1,000 words, doesn't it?
Yeah. Did somebody say once, never trust a skinny chef?
That's actually, yeah, it's a good one. That's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go to a health coach who looks tired and you see them on the third coffee of the day and they've got brain fog and you're like, you need to be the change, don't you?
Yeah, be the change. That's a good one, Dan. That's a good place to end today, I feel, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I've enjoyed today's podcast.
I have as well. Well, this is kind of the stuff that we love talking about, don't we?
Yeah. I had to rein you in a few times.
Yes, rein me back. I don't
know. You're going off today. In the cosmic consciousness.
It was my dad making me listen to Bob Dylan last night. But I hope you have enjoyed that, listeners. And if there's anything that you would like Dan and I to talk about, then let us know. And what's your value bombs for today then, Dan?
I mean, we spoke about it just before we came on air, but it's kind of reaffirmed. It's the avoiding sugar, and which I know is good anyway, but it's the science to back it up, how it suppresses the immune system for like up to 5 hours. So that just kind of put it into perspective for me again, how dangerous it is, and just avoiding it will have so many beneficial effects.
Yeah. So mine is same as you, really, sugar and getting outside.
You've even taught your son to walk around barefoot, haven't you?
Yeah, my son does walk around barefoot a lot in the woods. So if you see a child walk, it's not that he can't afford any shoes. It's just that he prefers not to wear them. But he's got a hippie mother, so I don't really force him into them.
Cool. So where can people find you, Jill?
So I can be found on my website, organicpilates.co.uk, and various Facebook and Instagram places too. What about you, Dan?
The best place to find me is on Facebook, Daniel Purvis Health and Fitness.
And you're still doing your 21 days of health thing, right?
Yep. A little bit of a challenge this week when my internet decided to pack in, which was when you rely on the internet 100% to stream workouts. So I was banished to my mum's loft for a week. Which wasn't ideal, but you adapt and overcome, eh?
Well, exactly. The joy is in the struggle. And at least your mum got a loft tidied out, so all good things.
Yeah, exactly. So she probably planned it. She'd probably come and cut the cables for me.
I'll get him.
But it's all good. It's all sorted now.
Oh, great. Great stuff. Well, if you have enjoyed listening to our ramblings, we would love for you to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple. Is it Apple? Yeah. iTunes. Apple is the company name. iTunes is the area where podcasts are housed, right?
Jill coming at you with some high technical information.
It's only taken me 20 years to understand that. Yeah, so we'd love for you to leave us a review. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening.
Yep, great. Thanks, everyone. See you soon.